Welcome to Crippled System, episode 19. My name is Brian, and I play Crix.
And apparently you want to die.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Somebody else should...
That was the energy. I brought the bang.
I was like, we have too much to talk about. We need to be quick. And then you spend an hour saying your name.
I wanted to make sure I was correct on all those points.
That's okay. I'm still sorting through this awful, awful pile of Jeremy having horrible ideas to find some redeemable diamonds in this rough
here. And who are you?
Nathan.
Yay, and you play No More Mercs.
My Mercs are officially being sold to
local
people.
I want your rock bottom if it's painted.
Why are you selling your Mercs?
One day I woke up, I'm like, you know, I'm done with Mercs.
I claim credit. I was the last
you beat it out of him.
So this is after everyone's paid in Vanguard.
No. I'm keeping the Vanguard list. I'm keeping Bard. I'm keeping Shay. I'm keeping Ayan in hold. I'm keeping Rock Bottom. I'm keeping the Condor. And I'm keeping the 14 Vanguards.
No Rock Bottom for you.
Damn it. That's the one model I want.
You said you might want some Pirate Souls. You didn't specify
Rock
yet.
Bottom.
Oh, too late. I'm keeping him. I'm keeping my 14 Vanguard list because that will be a perennial favorite, which is a great album by Squirrel Nut Zippers. There's a recommendation, Jeremy, that you can add to your list because I don't give enough of them.
I only add ones that are at the end.
Bullshit! No, you added Baitflix, and Baitflix
was,
random
in the recommendation section.
Yes,
go listen to
you
it.
Recommending
go
that.
Listen
you
to it.
Recommend
it's in the,
rec- it.
In
like,
the recommendation
you know
session specifically.
What's a great thing about Netflix that you have Baitflix?
Moving on.
I'm Katie Bad Horse on the forums,
and you play
Circle.
I'm Jeremy Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion.
I'm Andy Major Tusk. I play trolls.
Yes, you do.
My mic isn't really working very well.
That's do you want to share with somebody?
Just put your mouth on. Oh, my God.
We'll just unplug mics in the middle of podcasting. Is that any better?
I don't know.
Can you hear him now, people? If you can hear,
if you
Andy,
can hear Andy now,
please text us.
Please
tell me.
Tweet us.
Please tell me if you can hear me now.
All right. So there's this thing going on next weekend. Someone told me.
This weekend.
Andy mentioned it to me.
This weekend. This, not next weekend.
This coming weekend.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It'll be this weekend. Next weekend is the weekend next week.
Next weekend is board game weekend, which Nathan can't make. I'm sorry.
I did poke that hornet's nest on my Facebook because somebody asked when I was getting married, and I said next August. And then I pointed out to Raylene what I had said, and she almost strangled me. Because she's of the wrong camp, where next August would be 4 months from now.
Oh, I thought she was in the camp of wrong.
Yeah, that's this August. But some people, I know Jeremy's one of the morons who's like, that's next August because it's the next August.
It is the next August that happens.
Nope, next August is next year August. This August is this year's August.
I thought you meant she was in the camp that she didn't want to marry you anymore.
No, the wrong one. That would be the right camp.
That has to set in at some point for her.
She's waiting for the...
Yeah. All right, so depending on how you term it, this weekend, next
Nathan
weekend...
Nathan looks so sad there.
There's a thing going on.
Live on Crippled
System. I wouldn't
marry me. Divorce court.
I would not marry me. I'm just putting that out there.
Anywho, Adepticon.
Adepticon! Travis! Woo!
Yay, Travis! You're not going to call him Sam just to troll him? Are you done with that?
Wait for the...
He's saving it.
We have a thing later.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah.
Adepticon down Chicago.
We're all going, right?
Yes.
Because to various degrees.
Yep.
Well, right.
If you are awake at a time that no rational human being should be awake, I will be running Iron Gauntlet / events.
Iron Arena.
Iron Arena, rather. Yeah,
not
Iron Gauntlet.
There's no different. Iron Gauntlet there.
So if it's 3 in the morning and you say, I want to play some War Machine, Nathan will be there.
Nathan will be there, and he will be as delirious as always.
My first shift is Friday morning, 2 a.m. until Friday, 2 in the afternoon. That's my first shift.
That sounds miserable.
12-hour shift.
Well, yeah, and then but I get to sleep, and then I take my judge test at like 5, and then... I do, like 11 at night until 6 the following morning, Iron Arena.
And there are people that come and, like, play during this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, last year, there was, like, 2 people. We just sat there. That was when, that was the free ass-whopping sign was at that time of the night. That's like my, oh, God, I'm blanking on his name, but he's, like, my favorite person on the planet. 2 Adepticons ago, he was, like, a little kid at the time, and this little kid had a demo. An hour later, he was playing in a tournament.
Nice.
Like, he literally bought and just super good as fast as he could a Signar list and played it in a Midnight Madness, that event.
Didn't someone borrow him? Well, it was Midnight Madness.
Some people might have loaned it to him. But
painting rules and whatnot.
Yeah, there weren't painting rules in Midnight. Well, technically, Adepticon, it has to be
all
painted, but whatever.
Ignore that last
one,
Travis.
He won the raffle for finishing the event. Everybody's in a raffle, and he won a free 35-point Gator Army.
Nice.
Which he still plays to this day, because then the next Adepticon, he was there, and he had a sign just saying, hey, you know, looking for Iron Arena games, and it said free ass-whoopings, but he spelled it wrong, so it was free ass-whoppings.
Nice.
And it was amazing. And he came up. He was at the he was at a few of the six pack events.
I did was give it? Him. Yeah. A, I did give him a free ass whopping. Yeah. I was one of his helpers.
Free ass whoppings.
Nice.
But yeah, it was like 4 a.m. He was just like passed out on the chair, just holding his ass whopping sign. And, you know, if you want to get your ass whopped, just wake him up.
So how old is this kid? Because when I hear kid, I think of like an 8 year old.
No, he's like. I mean, the thing is like maybe 12 to 14.
Okay. But he was like 12 at the Adepticon, and then like he's 14 now. So like he went from kid to young adult. Like. At the course of a couple Adepticons.
Well, 1 year.
Oh, yeah, there
and
he
we have
the
a
ass
picture
whoppings
of it.
Picture.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, 1 year he was 14, next year he was 16. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was weird,
just
but it's
a couple
just.
Of years.
Puberty hit him in between Adepticons, so I did not recognize him at first.
That'll do it. Very nice.
I'll tweet that.
Yeah, we can tweet the free ass
I'm
whoppings.
Planning to actually play an event.
I'm not sure what we're passing this picture
I'm,
around.
I'm bringing my pigs so I can play some random Iron
Man. Yeah,
the thing is, there's like 4 hours where I technically could be sleeping, but instead I can just play War Machine.
Exactly.
Because, yeah. Again, if a Texan can pass this judge test, so can Nate.
God.
Yes.
My only worry is I'll get it too correct.
By the way, the Texans keep thinking we're picking on them, although I just did.
You just
we
did.
We called them dry once. That was not an insult. They're very direct. They're very to the point. That's not bad. We were insulting Muse on Minis. We called them like 18 bad names.
I think they mixed up the two sentences because we called them dry, and then we started saying these horrible, terrible words. But in between that, we said mom is. Yeah. And I think they missed that segue. Yeah.
No, I think he just thought dry was a bad thing.
Yeah, dry's not bad.
There,
you're in Texas.
You go,
there's no
wanna...
there's no water. You're dry.
A dry,
yeah, that's
a dry white
say.
Wine.
It's all dry down in Texas.
Yeah.
I've heard it's ball soup, and having lived there, it is ball soup in Houston.
Well,
not
there's
dry.
There's Sound West like. Texas, and there's East Texas, and
yes.
The best way to insult a Texan is to claim they're the same as the people from the other half of Texas.
That is true.
Because East Texans sure hate West Texans, and vice versa.
Well, not as much as they hate everyone north of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, I guess that's to some extent.
And the Mexicans.
I did love trolling my ex who is from Texas. I would always just point out, like, Texas isn't that big. If you doubled it, it would still not be the biggest state. And that just pissed
that
her
joke
off to no end.
We did it last time.
Yeah,
we're never repeating jokes from an episode ago.
I thought I posted it on the forum.
No,
that's okay.
No.
The two of you have the only repeated
Lance,
recommendation
cut that out.
In our recommendation sections. Did you guys notice that? If you go through the recommendations, there's one that's like, Nathan, this episode. Brian, this episode.
Well, that was the Lord of the Rings card
Lord
game.
Lord of the Rings card
game. Yeah, it's worth two recommendations.
I love
apparently.
That the White Album is live entertainment in your book.
That's what I said.
Katie pointed that out. I realize I have to go fix that, so... Lance, edit that out for me.
I already made that joke like 10 seconds ago about my joke.
So
now we're repeating jokes from a second ago.
Hey, Lance, edit out what we just said about you. Except we're repeating ourselves.
Jesus Christ.
I
you know, they say Lance edited out all the goddamn time.
Right?
He doesn't edit anything out.
We don't need to.
Well, he certainly doesn't edit out them saying to edit things out. He actually does. If you listen to, like, whenever Crump's talking, Crump cuts off a lot, but he does it really well. But you can tell Crump uses profanity just like, whoa. Like, he just drops the fucking language and profanity all the time.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Body mouth. Shut it.
See how we don't edit that out?
Maybe we did. Now you're going to look like an idiot.
I doubt that. No, I look like an idiot either way. I don't need that to make me look like an idiot.
Yes. You don't need me editing to make you look like an idiot.
True story. So anyway, I'm playing in actual events at Adepticon. I'm playing in the 35-point Theme Force event and the 50-point Hardcore event. So hopefully
I'm
going
to
be
running the Theme Force event, so heads up, you're DQ'd.
Heads up, I'm probably going to lose anyway.
Hey, guess what? I'm running the Theme Force event. You're DQ'd.
The two of you are running it together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm dropping
we
from
were
the
gonna
event.
Run, we were going to run both the Midnight Madnesses, but I had to drop out of the Saturday night one because I'm taking the test, so somebody
Saturday,
else stepped in.
Yeah, for who's the boss?
Yeah, who's the boss? I'm not running who's the boss. I know, I'm a fucker. Yeah.
I'm also playing... Did I register for who's the boss? I think I did.
If you're not, you're DQ'd.
Well, obviously.
We'll find you a space. Like, we'll get somebody to not show up so that you can get in, and then we can DQ you.
I'll bring a free ass whopping sign.
Yes. Whoppings.
So anyway, that's what I'm doing at Adepticon.
Brian and I are going down at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Just hang out for the day.
How are you going to get me to sleep in your filth if you don't stay overnight?
You can ask my filth this year. That's my favorite part of last
Son
year.
Son of a bitch.
That was the only, I was so sick last year. That was the only highlight of my entire weekend was
Son
you
of
sleeping
a bitch.
In my filth. I was gagged when I walked in there and I saw you sleeping in. I'm like, my God.
We got there and I said, this side of the bed is mine. I'm going to sleep on this side of the bed. And then I went and then I came back and I slept on that side of the bed. Turns out Brian had slept on that side of the bed despite my
Well, you
dibs
said
call.
You wanted it, and I said no. I overrode your dibs.
You may have said that in your head.
No,
or you may have said that when I wasn't in the room.
Well, you know what? Because I was sick and ill, I'm going to not fight that.
Hey, do you know I was
typhoid Mary. Oh, fuck you. assholes.
I remember waking up every morning thinking, wow, I was just drenched in sweat and filth. I'm like, wow. And then Nathan just crawled right where he was. And that was just the grossest thing I've ever seen.
We had a hot bucket.
Did your bed go squit?
I thought I woke up in a bathtub.
Son of a bitch.
Note to self, never share a room
with
Brian.
I'm like, how is Nathan not noticing just that? I mean, they couldn't. I mean, sure, they changed the sheets, but that bed, the core of the bed was just underwater.
All right, so we need to move on before I get sick.
Oh, thank God, it's hooked up.
Were we not recording? We were recording off the laptop mic again?
No.
Okay, good.
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, Andy didn't get to say what he's doing at Adepticon.
He said he was running Who's the Boss in the Theme Force.
I'm running everything.
Yeah, he's got almost the exact... He and I were literally like had the exact same schedule until I had to drop Who's the Boss.
I think I have more still. I think I have like one shift
more. We had
the
same until I dropped Who's the Boss.
Yeah, but, you know, hey.
It's fun to play in events.
They're not playing in the events.
I know, that's what I mean.
I don't have a painted army, so...
Well, that is a problem.
Yep.
I just like to run Iron Arena. I'm going to bring my sign, my nameplate, down.
Which nameplate?
I'll show it to you later.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God.
Very cool. So...
You guys got to stop fidgeting.
Seriously. He's moving his mic around. He's playing with it. What the hell kind of gay-ass stand is that on your phone?
A cool one.
Cool.
Kickstands are pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's a pretty great kickstand.
Mine is cooler. Mine just cooks out.
Yeah.
Right. Either way, the back of the awesome. So my kickstand is called my hand.
Yeah. You sit on your desk at work and watch movies. I can watch movies.
Yeah. I just lean it against something. Look, you could lean it against that power supply.
Why would you do that when you can just put a movie on your monitor at work?
That's also true.
You can't do that.
We do.
That would get me fired.
Yeah.
This gets me not noticed.
Wait, I don't do that at work at all.
No, you just sit and assemble minis all day at work.
No, I don't. I work.
Oh, okay. Hey, Andy's boss. I was kidding. I wasn't kidding.
Hey.
I was kidding. No, I wasn't.
Hey.
All right, what else are we talking about?
We're talking about the contest. We have winners.
We have winners.
We have an actual winner. So, like, I easy-moded up. Let me adjust that, Lance. We made sure that Jeremy enunciated more clearly last week because nobody had gotten the previous week's contest, and then holy shit, somebody got the previous week's contest.
Yeah,
that was pretty amazing.
We might hard mode it back up.
Yeah, we're gonna have to post online both the original Retribution article that Swedish Muslim Jeremy read, and then the email, which was not quite, but goddamn close to word for word,
shockingly close.
Yeah, I couldn't. I've listened to it myself, and I know it was there because I wrote it.
No, you didn't write it.
I wrote it for. I helped him out. Swedish Muslim reads these things, but he doesn't actually play.
Oh,
he doesn't actually play.
I thought he was an avid War Machine player.
He's getting into
it.
He's a fan.
He's more of an
observer.
He's casual.
He's
a noob.
Watch. Yeah. Oh. So I wrote it up for him because I was trying to help him out. And so I know what it was. I still couldn't understand it.
Well, you, sir, are no Robert K. Cantrell, winner of that competition.
That was super impressive.
Brian just swatted my microphone away from my face.
And then who was the one that got the earliest P. Haley one?
The earliest P. Haley. So that's going to be first. We're also going to change.
Haley won.
We're also going to change that up a little bit. But it looks like it was Richard Moore was the first one to actually mention that.
Do you want to talk about how we're doing it in the future, Andy? Or do you want to save that for later?
We could talk about it now.
Yeah,
we're on the subject now.
Yeah, do it now.
We won't go into a tangent. We could talk about like
we won't go into a tangent.
I saw this video with this dog that was eating peanut butter.
I don't want to know what he was
What's
eating
our
peanut
topic?
Butter.
When I give Malcolm his allergy pill, I put it in peanut butter.
It's funny because when I eat peanut butter, I just wrap it in allergy pills.
It was one of those videos with a guy that has got his hands like through a suit jacket, and the dog is wearing the suit, and so he's trying to feed the dog peanut butter.
I thought funny. That dog just had hands.
Oh, no.
trickery.
Yep.
Shenanigans.
Yep.
They have one where there's two dogs and they're eating breakfast together. It's adorable.
There was that guy who took all kinds of photographs of Weimaraners like that.
Yes. What?
Yeah, it was a thing.
That was a thing. Like in the 90s. The Weimaraner.
Short, gray hair.
It looks like a greyhound except actually gray.
Yeah, and he's got them like all dressed up and put in weird positions. Yeah.
And they have human arms and stuff.
So anyway,
we have another contest.
You're starting that again.
I am.
Stop that. You son of a bitch.
I didn't say moving on.
He actually beat me. I was about to say the same thing.
God. Conversations.
I will yell into Katie's mic if I have.
God.
No one needs to hear about videos on YouTube.
Whatever. Yeah. We're having a natural flow of conversation. That's our shtick.
Would you label it a successful conversation?
It was being successful until Asshat decided to grind it to a halt. You know, like, here's the thing. Sometimes it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Sometimes it's about the journey. You take the scenic route.
If you go to our Facebook page,
bullshit.
We're starting a new contest where if there is...
We're not talking about the old one.
We'll get to it. This is how you cut in.
Katie taking control. I like it.
Where if you have something that you've painted and you're really proud of it, or if you have something that you've modded and you're really proud of it, put it onto our Facebook page, and then we'll have a bunch of people like it all the way up until April 30th, and then we'll see whoever has the most likes, and whoever has the most likes, we'll send them some Crippled System gear. We don't know what that is yet.
And our Facebook page is?
Crippled System?
Yes.
You cracked the code.
Good job.
Thanks, Jeremy.
One thing I would like to say is, even if you don't have something you want to post, a picture or a mod, please do go and like your favorite one. Because, like, I am a terrible painter and modder, but I still plan to look through it and pick my favorite and like it.
Yeah.
So.
And you can like a couple. You don't have to just like one.
No, but my point
although
is...
Although if you like all of them, it defeats the purpose. Because you might as well like none of them.
I like everything.
So if there's one you hate, like everything else.
I was being supportive. I logged on and I liked the first person to post one. I'm like, wait, now I have to like all of them. Otherwise, we're unfairly slanting this. So I unliked it. So sorry, guy. I actually did like your epic Haley, but I can't like it.
But yeah, like, I mean, I just don't want people to think you only go there if you have something you painted, and then you're part of the club that gets to vote. Anybody go vote.
And it'll be a pretty cool. It'll be pretty neat way. We might just send you like I don't know, something that belongs to Jeremy. We'll go through Jeremy's stuff, and we'll send you a
his watch.
We're gonna send a random item that belongs to Jeremy.
Won't tell him what.
No,
he'll just have to look and see what's missing. It's kind of like that episode of Seinfeld where she's like, "I won't tell you what, but I put one of your pieces of property into the toilet," and then she just leaves his house. Ooh. Turns out it was the toilet brush. So she was double trolling him.
That's pretty
maybe
good.
The plunger. Sorry, anybody who I got that wrong.
There is a lot of folks posting pictures.
Katie, good job. Good. Way to start a strong contest.
There's already like six.
Wow, very cool.
On her page already?
Who knows?
Yeah, so go vote for him. It's already up there. My picture is horrendous because I took it with my iPad.
Yes, it is. The model's actually pretty good. The picture did not come out terribly well.
But anyway, that's that contest. So that'll be going on for a couple of weeks to give everyone a chance to get it up there. And if you're finishing something, you can also get it up there.
Yep.
And then what Brian was mentioning is we will be changing the way that we do the feet with Swedish Muslim
feet,
Jeremy.
Feet or spell.
Feet or spell. Because if you just go with the first person who guesses it, then people don't want to guess it anymore because they already saw it. So instead, if everyone can just email us what they think it is, and then we will pick from the
all of the correct
one
answers.
Random winner from the correct entries.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. You must email us at podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Correct.
/org.
No, there's no /org.
Podcast.org. It's .com.
.com.
No, I was stealing from you. It's Homestar Runner.
It's homestarrunner.net. It's .com.
Right. I know. I was.
You said it wrong.
I know I said it wrong. By the way, people who like this, so I'm going to back up. I'm going to continue to reference.
Oh,
no, listen. I previously recommended the Aquabats Super Show.
You did.
Three of the episodes were directed by Matt Chapman, one of the brothers Chapman, who did Homestar Runner. .com. So if you like Homestar Runner and you haven't yet taken me up on my recommendation of the Aquabats Super Show, he's on there. And one of the villains is Strong Bad.
Nice.
It's actually, they call him Carl, but it's Strong Bad in a wizard costume.
I like it.
It's great.
Strong Bad is in the their poker all-star poker tournament, too.
Yeah. Strong Bad, Claptrap, all kinds of people.
Well, that's in a different one.
Yeah, they should mix them. You should be able to play 8-man poker.
New one looks awesome, though. I mean, it's got Ash, Claptrap.
Brock Sampson. And then I think this one has Sam from Sam and Max, because the other one had Max from Sam and Max.
Their names are funny.
Sam and Max?
Yes. Those are the names that I'm giggling at.
Yeah. Max is a lagomorph.
I don't know what that is.
It's a rabbity type thing.
Is it a ferret?
No, it's a rabbity type thing.
Is it a ferret on steroids?
No, it's a rabbity type thing on hate.
Is it the rabbit with the antlers?
I'm going to loan you Sam and Max Hit the Road. You should read it. It's an amazing, amazing read.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Although it actually might be the most expensive book I own, turns out. Like, I randomly checked, and it's like $100-something on Amazon to get it used.
What?
Well, it's really good, and apparently. It's out of print.
It is an amazing.
And people love Sam and Max. The original point-and-click game is great. Yeah, Max is the lagomorph on the right there, and Sam is the dog on the left. They are freelance police. They're not licensed or anything. They just attack and beat up bad guys and chain them and handcuff them to things and beat them up some more.
If you like dialogue, that is the game to play, and it's also the book to read. Because there is a lot of dialogue.
You know, the mermaids came from, like, pirates and whatnot seeing manatees and being drunk and confused. So in one of them, there is actually a group of pirates that captures them, and the pirates have actual manatee wives, and they sing a love song to them. One of the great verses is, "Manatee, sweet manatee, your mustache bristles tickle me in places no one ever sees, my warm and flaccid manatee." It's beautiful. And then Sam and Max just leave because it's getting too creepy for them.
So if it's such a good read, why is it out of print?
I don't know. Because it's kind
of,
it's
somebody would just make money off of it.
Yeah. Well, I
the artist is still alive.
The artist is still alive. It's just, I mean, it's semi obscure. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of these old comic books and stuff. They aren't mainstream, so.
Well, but it's so easy to put stuff on like Kindle or Amazon nowadays that it just seems.
It's, people don't Kindle graphic novels as often.
No,
they do it just
often.
With text.
No. My package has been sent. Sorry, I'm checking my email.
That's great. All right. So now that somebody's checking their email.
Clearly it's time for a new topic.
From Flying Frog Games.
So we talked about
game-related.
The contest winners. We talked about the other contest that's in effect. So let's move on to the next topic, which is something somebody wanted us to talk about. Pip. He preemptively named himself Pip on the assumption that I would call him Pip anyway because he's from England. Wanted us to talk about newbie terms.
Yes.
And this has come up a couple times. Katie will butt in when we say something that she doesn't know. Like, I know net decking was one she talked about, which is, of course, when you build a list specifically to beat somebody else's list. Okay, maybe I shouldn't use wrong terms in this feature, given that we're specifically trying to do them right.
You wrote that exactly how Mom gives tactical advice?
Yes.
Don't ever use the choir. They're really bad.
Yeah. But, so. So we had kind of some terms, and I guess each of us can just throw out a few and just quickly go over what they mean.
Yeah.
Because we all take them for granted.
Yeah. And I think one thing to mention is that the this section we're doing kind of breaks into two different types. There's models and units that have names that are not the names on their card, and that is confusing when you listen to podcasts. But then there's also just, like, general terminology or, like, theories or areas of conversation that have just sprung up around War Machines.
So good job explaining the topic again.
I'm just saying. There's two different kinds of things. Anyway, go ahead.
Some topic.
All right. So one of the ones, and this is actually, it's funny to me that Katie had never actually heard this guy's real name. So if you've ever, and veteran players are going to think this section's a little silly, I'll warn you. But anyway, Gaspy and Gaspy 2 or E-Gaspy, we all refer to Lich Lord Asphyxius as Gaspy 2.
Not we all.
Well, a lot of people do. Or E. Gaspy.
It's very common.
It's very
common.
It's a common
name.
And Katie actually thought that was the name, like his actual name on his card was Gaspy, because she'd never heard him called Asphyxius. So Asphyxius, the choking, gasping, so his name got just shortened to like a bunch of people call him Gaspy, and it's just a common thing. Oh, very nice. Nathan G. Hoffman, all around awesome person. So anyway, Gaspy is Lich Lord Asphyxius, or Iron Lich Asphyxius, I guess, is the prime Gaspy.
Yeah.
Which also brings up P and E or 1, 2, 3. So people talk about P Haley and E Haley. And something that, if you're a new player to the game, I was confused by this. E whatever, so E Haley, E Eris, E Lich, is the second iteration of them. It actually will say on their card, Epic Warcaster or Epic Solo or Epic whatever.
P stood for the normal. It was originally because most of the ones with Epics were from Prime or Primal originally, and then they went Epic, so it was P was for Prime and E was for Epic, although not all of the things with Epics started in Prime or Primal. So, like, Gorshade wasn't in Prime, so P Gorshade and E Gorshade didn't even make any sense.
Fjord is the other
Fjord,
one,
same
too.
Thing.
But it's still fairly common terminology. The other thing you'll hear is you hear him called, like, Fiora 1, Fiora 2. And especially now that there are legendary casters, you'll hear him referred to as Krios 3.
Which is the preferred official terminology.
It is
so
the official terminology.
If you're near private to press staff and want them to like you, you should use that terminology.
You should call him legendary.
Yeah, so make sure you call him legendary. Just watch him twitch.
Yeah.
Because they love that.
They're great guys, but you got to make them a little on edge.
So, but anyway, that's something just because it's going to come up as we talk through stuff like E and P and legendary or whatever.
Yeah. Even people refer to factions as different names.
Yep.
Signar is often called Swans.
Yep.
I can't think what they call the Cyrus of Convergence right now.
Something. We'll skip that.
Something.
Convergence Cyrus has some sort of nickname. I think it's an acronym.
That
but
we're
I don't know
above
what it is.
CC for closed captioning.
It's
yes.
Coke.
But
yes.
Just for the taste of it.
Various factions have
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Just for the taste of it. Nice.
We made you think it.
Also, a very important term, JVM, stands for Jake Van Meter.
And so that is very important.
So if someone's
too.
Like, you're going to face JVM, you better realize
just
shit's
drop.
Getting real.
Yeah.
I love there's that thread that's just...
Oh, I love that thread on the Legion
I love
forum.
And hate it at the same time because it's epic trolling, because Chuck made the thread just for people to worship Jake Van Meter, and it's basically just like Chuck Norris jokes, but towards Jake Van Meter.
Yes.
Like, one of my favorite ones, somebody said that he actually died on the way to a tournament, and Van Meter feeded and brought him back within 3 inches. So, you know, just stuff like that. It's great, but the part of me that's sad is I think that some of the people in that thread aren't joking.
Some of them really do think he walks on water.
Calm down, people.
Oh, yeah. Also, pretty boy is another term for Jake Van Meter. It's just
oh,
depending on which one to call
him. For him. That's true.
You have to be prepared.
I met him for the first time at War Machine Weekend.
He, well, when you just look for the prettiest guy at War Machine Weekend.
It's true.
I have a picture of him.
He's in serious description. He's one of the very top tier players. Yep. You know, like if you were going to make an objective list of like the top 10 most successful, at the very least, because that's trackable.
Yeah.
War Machine / Horde players, the people who will win events that they're at, he's one of them.
Yep.
He plays Legion.
Unnaturally friendly.
Yeah,
obnoxiously
friendly.
He is
very friendly. Even to people like Nathan, which I've
never
understood.
Actually, and what's weird, and I don't want to really, you know, be too happy towards him, but he's, like, friendly, and he's, like, honestly friendly. He's not, like, being a dick friendly, but he's...
Oh, I've seen him.
Yeah. You've seen him in your dreams.
Yeah. Well, oh, my God.
Nathan
zoom in too
his
far
eyeball.
His eyes. That's Andy, not Nathan.
Sorry, Andy. He got all confused.
The thing is, he's, like, legitimately a nice person, unlike, like, Keith or, or Will... from Texas, Pagani. Like, they're shitholes. Like, whereas Van Meter's actually a nice person.
Nice.
A new nickname. Also, people should be wearing Dick Bag is also named Nathan.
Yes, Nathan.
That is actually very appropriate for right now.
I guess back on topic. A few more generalized terms that people use a lot. Mini feet.
Yep.
You'll hear mini feet. That's any once per game ability that like a model / unit has. It's just like your Warcaster Warlock having a feat, except it's on a unit or solo or something.
Yep. A common one, if you're not familiar with it, is like the Zealots have a mini feat to be immune to the world for a turn. The
true.
Menoth Zealots.
Yep. Or Weapon Master on the Precursor Knights and stuff
on the
like
Precursor
that.
Precursor Knights, yep.
A SKU list or a gimmick list. Some people, like Muse on Minis, calls it a SKU list. I've forgotten a gimmick list. Is a list that sucks ass and you shouldn't use it.
Also, you should call, if you're talking to Jim, make sure you use the phrase SKU list to Jim.
Yeah, because he loves that.
He'll start twitching.
But that's a list, like the list, and these are oftentimes also, NetDeck is a list that you just steal off the internet.
Yep.
But gimmick lists are lists that have, like, one shtick going for them. And if I made one just for fun a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about Crix, where it was literally just Denny and Gas, or Denny 1 and Gorshade 2 and, like, 50 Bane Thralls.
Yeah.
So it was literally just a shitload of Stealth Weapon Masters that made more Stealth Weapon Masters. It's a gimmick list.
Yeah, or like, spam list.
Yeah, it's spam list. There, yeah. Anything where you're spamming ass tons of the same thing is a gimmick list. And, you know, sometimes they're super good, but someone's going to have the rock to your scissors, and it's going to be bad for you.
It's going to be skewed.
Unless it's 14 Vanguards, that's unbeatable. Except I lost with it.
Clubbing seals is a very advanced term.
Clubbing baby seals.
That's basically for that's when, you know, top players get into the little tournaments and consider the rest of us the seals and are just going through us.
Or they lose first round.
Yeah, it mostly happens.
Going
like,
into,
if you scrub out first round.
Well, War Machine Weekend, because you have the qualifier.
Yeah, the
so
last
then you know,
qualifier.
But then
oh my God.
But then the 15 people who have already qualified, they're clubbing seals to like whatever their random side event is.
Yep. They'll just go to whatever side event and just crush people.
I mean, they don't usually say, hey, they don't usually call people seals, but they think you're a seal.
Yeah, they're clubbing a baby seal. Yeah.
But most of the ones who use that term are using it jokingly.
I know. Oh, no, yeah. You know,
it's
that valid.
They're not a bunch of assholes. I'm just going to go beat the crap out of bad players.
I agree that some of them feel that way.
Brian's not one of those.
I won't break down the percentage of how many are actually jerks. Well, I already mentioned Will and Keith. But,
yeah. Whenever you mention jerks, Keith's going to come up in conversation. That's another War Machine term you should be aware of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Keith's very familiar with Circle Jerk, but that's for a different podcast.
That is for a different podcast.
It's the After Dark podcast.
Yeah.
Keith, speaking of which, Keith Christensen, Pink Shirt Keith.
Pink Shirt.
I'm going to tell this anecdote because it abused me. He wears a purple shirt all the time in his tournaments. It's his lucky shirt.
Lucky shirt.
And so one time he came up to me, back when he still lived in Madden, he came up to me and he's like, oh, I'm so pissed. Somebody on the internet, they called me Pink Shirt Keith. And they're talking about how I was wearing this pink shirt at Adepticon. And pink shirt. And he's just fuming. I'm like, really? Let me see. And he pulls up the page and the post said purple shirt. And he had just read pink because he was like self-conscious about it. And it was just funny to me to watch him raging about something that wasn't even true.
That's pretty good.
One thing I don't know what it means, and I've never bothered to look it up, is affinity.
Affinity is actually a game term.
Right. But I've never, like, I've always just ignored it because it doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
That might be a different topic.
Yeah. I think you have models with affinity. Doesn't Megalith have an affinity?
He does.
Yeah.
So, well, you don't play Baldur, though.
No.
So you know how some casters have a bond, which is that they get to make, like, a beast or a jack of their choice better by nature of this bond? Does that even mean anything to you?
No.
Okay, great. So here's two game terms that do similar things. So a bond, some casters, pretty much I think exclusively epic casters.
Exclusively epic.
Maybe, yeah. They have what are called bonds, which are you get to pick one jack or beast in their battle group, and it gets this benefit. Like, Sorsha 2's bond is that if you end your activation within, like, 2 inches or 3 inches of the jack, you're made stationary.
Yep.
And that's just an ability that jack
has. Unless you're
has.
Immune to cold.
Whatever. So these bonds all do various little things, little bonuses and whatnot. Affinities are kind of the other way around. What they are, Molg, for example, has an affinity with Doomshaper. So if Molg is in the same list with Doomshaper, or if he's in Doomshaper's battle group, Molg gains an ability automatically. And in Molg's case, it's a free attack at the end of his activation if the thing he hit last isn't dead.
Right.
He just gets another free attack against it. And that's all it is. It's just a free little bonus for playing it with their thematically appropriate caster. Yep. Like, another one is Nightmare has an affinity with Denegra. If he's fielded with a Denegra, he gets stealth.
Yeah.
But it'll say it on the card?
Yep. On the Jax card, it'll say affinity Denegra, Nightmare gains stealth.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
That's an affinity. Good job, Katie.
Thank you.
I didn't think we'd have to go over actual rules terms. I thought this would be more jargon and lingo.
Katie likes to put the new in new.
A boost is a third die.
Third dice? All right.
One more that I had on my list was a pop and drop. Comes up a lot, although I don't hear it often. I don't hear it as much as I used to.
People don't do it as much as they used to. And it's still scary. It kind of ebbs and flows because it's scary. Everybody net decks against it.
Yep.
And then it gets not scary. And then it's scary again because you stop protecting.
And so a pop and drop. Net deck again.
I'm using it wrong on an accident now. Like, it's honestly retrained my brain to use net deck wrong.
So the
I don't think you know the proper way to say it now.
I do.
I spell some words wrong accidentally because I'm so used to trolling you that I didn't
realize. Oh, my goodness. We were at the theater last night, and the lady, the little usher lady, told somebody that she could borrow something for him. Well, I could borrow to mean lend.
Yeah. Oh, Brian does that.
I always say it. What bothers me, I know three people you hate it, Jake hates it, and someone else hates it, so I only say borrow now. I don't even pretend to go
here, I'll borrow you a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I never heard it before. Like, I thought that was just something Brian did because he was odd.
Oh, no, it's a common dumb thing.
It's like, let me learn you something real quickly. I can learn you what affinity means.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Well, people say that, and it drives me insane.
So anyway, pop and drop, before I got so rudely interrupted.
That's when you dance like a robot.
Also that, yes. P. Krios is the classic for that.
But he is literally the only one.
Well,
I guess Barnabas can, but the term...
Sorsha is
what are you
going to
drop? No, she doesn't drop.
She doesn't knock you down, but it's the same idea.
No. Please.
It's only Krios.
No, the pop and drop specifically refers to Krios.
I've heard pop and drop referred to with P-Sword.
You've heard it wrong.
Yeah, you've heard it
wrong.
That's
Point of Jeremy.
That is specific. Pop and drop refers to Krios feeding, knocking everything down, and then you shoot them to death.
Yeah.
Yes, or their army. With delivers or whatever it is available at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ghetto one with Barnabas with the spitters or whatever, but the term specifically refers to Krios feeding, everything falls down, and then he shoots your caster to death.
That is an expensive pop and drop for gators.
Yeah.
Really expensive.
Well, you know, what works.
Yeah. So anyway, pop and drop is definitely one you hear about that took me a long time to figure out what the hell it meant.
And then you apparently figured it out wrong, so it hardly counts.
Yeah.
If people know of others, too, they can pull us down.
Yeah,
post
feel free to put
them
in the thread.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a thread I'm using minis like there always is.
Yeah, well, and people could ask. Might as well just, because obviously we don't know the terms that you don't know. So, like, if there's one that you don't know, just post it in the thread and somebody will answer. Either us or somebody else in the thread.
Or even if you have something that's odd in your meta, too. I'm kind of interested in seeing what other people say.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
Yeah. Whenever I just don't know what something is, usually I just ask somebody when they're talking about it. That's the best way to learn.
And then and then there's like units and stuff like...
Winterguard Death Star.
Winterguard Death Star is a classic one, which is the Winterguard Infantry with their UA and their weapon attachments and Kovnik Joe.
And full everything.
Full everything.
Three Rocketeers, 10 Winterguard. So it's the full boat.
Yep.
Bring them all. That's the Death Star.
Yep. There's Junior, which is the Journeyman Warcaster in Signar that is terrible and you should never play him. Spoiler alert, he's actually pretty good. There's the Pot, which is the spawning vessel in Legion.
No.
She definitely like called the pot a lot.
No.
You do.
The not, bucket. He's no. Mr. Bucket.
In Madison, Wisconsin, it's called the bucket.
Well, that's true.
Because it's bucket.
The bucket. And it's really good. Let's see what some other good ones. The book in Menoth, The Covenant of Menoth.
Yeah.
It's the guy with the giant book. So that one's pretty self-explanatory, I guess.
Which one is it?
The guy with the book.
The guy with the book. Any other good ones you guys can think of? Like I had some written down, but they're mostly Rhett ones, and so I don't know that anyone cares or plays Rhett.
No,
Rhett,
we
so.
Don't care about them at all.
No.
No.
Nope. No caring.
Yeah. That's why I didn't mention
we're bored.
I mean, generally you'll see a lot of people refer to initials for like Mage Hunter Strike Force, the yep. MHSF, you know, yep. stuff like that. But that's a lot better just to show a text in the first place than yep. try to... It's not really come yeah, up.
And you will see that. If you see that at a tournament, like the other guy's list, like I'll often feel lazy and I'll write MHA for Mage Hunter Assassin. Feel free to ask if you don't know. Like, in my opinion, it's better to write out the full name, but not everyone always does. And when you're, especially writing two lists that have a bunch of different units and solos, you get tired of writing it out. So people acronym it up.
I do know that privateer rather have people
I know.
Spell everything out.
And I don't blame them. But I'm
if
just
you're,
saying.
If you're at Adepticon, you better spell it all out. They're not going to accept the abbreviations.
So. Yeah.
All
right.
Good to know. So anyway, I think
because Travis will be the one reading over your list, and Travis will say, "There's no
oh,
MSA."
Yeah. I forgot. And obviously, when you call someone Sam, you mean Travis.
Oh, yep, mm-hmm. yep, that's a good one. It's a War Machine turn.
You've been planning for that for the whole time.
Yeah, he has,
and you failed.
We almost forgot. Well, you know, it's still second nature to us. It's not really a nickname.
True.
It's just you know.
Do you think the term gunline is too self-explanatory, or should we talk about that one a little bit?
I mean,
What is a gunline, Jeremy?
I'm just saying, it's like. It's fairly self-explanatory, but it's a list that's almost all guns, or at least where everything in the list pretty much has a gun, even if it's got other things it can do.
Really?
Yeah. Shut your face.
Here's one that just occurred to me that I know that I use a lot. Like, anybody who's played the game for a while uses a lot, but people, their first few games, it doesn't necessarily make sense to them, is Dice Minus.
Yes.
So...
Good one.
You know, this kind of starts to make sense on its own, but just for any of you who are really new, or maybe there's just some weird meta like in Guam where people don't use this term.
We have a fan.
We do have a fan Guam.
That, it was a joke.
No, it's true, though.
That's why I mentioned Guam specifically, because I know.
We no longer have a fan.
Hey, no.
He's like, wait a minute.
We read his email. Come on now. I like Guam. I actually looked into vacationing in Guam, because I figured it's Pacific Island. It might be like kind of this little secret thing, because it's going to be nice. It's going to be Pacific, but nobody... No. You go to Hawaii, you don't go to Guam. Turns out that like everybody... Guam is Japan's Hawaii. Like, when Japanese people want to go on vacation, they go to Guam. At least that's what I read. The guy from Guam can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what my research
said. Concerning recent tensions in the area, that's probably not the great vacation spot at this moment.
Well, whatever.
Is Guam near Boston?
Yes.
Yes, wow. It's right now, right next to Australia.
Yeah. Byzantium. Where was I going with this? Oh, so Dice Minus.
Yes.
So when you roll damage, let's say you have a POW 10 against armor 16. So you take your POW 10, you roll your dice, you add your dice to the POW, and like you roll a 9, so you roll 9 plus 10, that's 19, minus 16 is 3. And it's a pretty belaborious process if you actually do those steps. But in reality, subconsciously, and when people say dice minus, they mean consciously, what you're really doing is you're figuring out that POW 10 is 6 less than the armor, so you're taking the dice and subtracting 6.
Right.
So dice minus is literally just a shortcut. Instead of saying POW plus dice minus armor, it's just skip the POW part, skip the armor part, and take the dice minus blank. Or flip side, if you're doing shit tons of damage,
plus.
Dice plus. Because if you're POW 16 against armor 10, you're dice plus 6.
If you're POW 16 against armor 10, it probably only got one box, so it doesn't matter.
Unless it's, well, maybe. The point is, shut up.
Yeah, that model.
No, it could be a Kador Jack under Sorcia's feet. Oh, no, that's doubled. It's Kador Jack under Siege's feet.
Yes.
Yeah!
There you go.
Fuck you, Jeremy.
Got it. Good job.
Topical. or the Behemoth could be punching something.
That's true.
Punching a Kador Jack.
Armor piercing or an angel.
There are many situations in
there
which you can
many.
Be dice plus 6 and have boxes.
There are
we
not
just
many.
Came up with like 3 of them. That's many.
Yes.
3 is many.
Pretty sure that's a few.
Magnus armor pierces. There's
in
4.
In your face.
Like, how many till I get to many? Because I'm sure I can get to like 10.
Rhett sniper gun.
Boom. Red sniper gun.
Hunter.
The heavy rifle team.
Guess what?
It's like POW 12.
Well, you know what? POW 12 versus Armor 10.
Tyrant Redeem.
Timer Redeem.
Ripjaw.
There you go. Ripjaw.
I was going to keep going.
My boy Durgan. He's only POW 7, but he's got armor piercing.
He does have armor piercing.
Yeah. So, suck it.
There you go.
Okay.
Any other ones?
No.
Nope.
Well, okay then.
Has anyone here besides me got any of the novels from
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we promised we were going to talk about that. Did you read them?
I've downloaded all three. I started with the one about Scorn, because obviously I love Scorn. It's basically Makeda when she's growing up and like her rise to power in her house. It's a pretty cool story.
Doesn't one of them deal with Convergence?
I think the Devil Dog story, yeah, which is the one I'm starting.
Devils, like, yeah. Fight, which makes sense because like in the slideshow with the art for the Convergence before the books came out, they actually showed the Sawblade one shooting at Sam McCartney.
What's cool, oh, really? So yeah. It's a short little story, and then it has like a, every 50 pages or 30 pages, there's like a little new graphic there. There's like a little artist illustrating a few of the pages.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's kind of neat. I mean, I would say it's if you like War Machine and Hordes, they're good books so far from what I've read. Quality is decent, but it's definitely written from the point of view that you kind of, it's better when you want to kind of know the history of a person.
You got to have some kind of,
yeah, I'm not sure. Like when she pops her feet for the first time, it's like, you know, all her soldiers rise up and fight, which is cool, but there's never any discussion about it. Like that would be, if you were reading a book fresh and that just happened, that'd be a huge point to, right, you dwell, right, on that for next,
but
50
we
pages.
All know that Makeda does that,
yeah, right, so it's like it's, you know, it's cool to see when it happens for the first time. She's like, you know, she's so mad and angry, and her with sheer will she brings her troops back to life. It's kind, cool, of a neat little moment, but from a non-person it wouldn't be that exciting.
No, I could see that,
but so yeah, first book, that was a really good book. I'm gonna read The Devil's Dog next,
saving Rutger and Terran for last.
Well, I'm just, that's just the order. I,
yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, very cool. I haven't read them yet, so I can't really comment on it.
We're talking about reading.
Doesn't mean you.
I was being interactive.
But she's experiencing her first rampant physical abuse by Max against a small-time petty thief.
It's black and white.
It
it's kind of dumb.
It was spousal abuse right there. Well, not quite
spousal. It's not spousal abuse if it's black and white.
Domestic abuse.
Yeah, it's domestic.
What? Wow. All right.
It's not real in black and,
wow,
white.
Wow. Okay, then.
Okay, then.
So another quick topic we were going to touch on briefly. Apparently, I didn't know why, but Jeremy said this was something we were supposed to talk about. And sometimes Jeremy rambles, but we'll believe him on this one. Was a caster from another faction that you would
that
like to play.
That was actually Brian's idea?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I don't get this. You mean, like, would I have to play in that faction, or is this,
well,
kind of,
no,
who's
like,
the boss
was,
thing?
The thing I originally posted was...
Oh, we talked about this, like, from, like, 6 months ago.
Was
that's
it,
right.
Was it an actual thing?
No, we didn't talk about it, but we talked about talking,
yeah,
about it.
It's, yeah, like, we all think other factions are cool, but, you, yeah, know, we have limited money, so, but, you know, like I would love to... To me, for example, I think Cassius is amazing, and I love to play Cassius, or I just like the idea of the tree and... Just the way he were. He's kind of a Crix type caster in some ways. He's not as good as in many ways, but
right,
he's got the Hellmouth, but he can die way too easily.
Yes.
But, I mean, for Circle, I'm always intrigued by that. I actually like, I'm always intrigued by Signar's Lightning stuff. I know it's not that good either, but, you know, it's neat.
It might be really good against Convergence of Cirrus.
And I love what's her name.
They're going to be all Jax Disruption good.
What's the...
they might not have a Cortex to suffer Disruption either.
All right, yeah.
What's that one caster's name who does the stuff in Signar with the precursors?
It's Constant Blaze.
Like, I want a Constant Blaze Steam Force. Like, I almost want to get back into Signar, get a Constant Blaze Steam Force, and I want an E. Haley Theme Force with the double Storm Striders. It's the literally
Storm
worst.
Striders?
Yeah, literally
the theme force.
It's literally the worst way to play her.
Yeah,
but it
cool.
Intrigues me.
Fair enough.
So like that's what I, and so I mean that's kind of what I would do if I would. I'm never going to do it because I'm done buying factions. But that's, I'm always like, wish I had that.
No, that's fair.
So that was just my 2 cents.
Yeah, no.
You know, what would Andy want to play if he didn't own everything?
I don't own everything. I mean, I would really like to play a Baldur theme force. I really like
Which
that.
Baldur?
Baldur 1.
Okay.
I like the look of it. I like the constructs for it. I do like the lightning for Signar as well. I mean, playing the Nemos and just playing all the storm whatever, storm nouns. I guess that's one we could have covered before. Storm nouns is everything storm in
Signar.
In,
yeah,
Signar.
Yep, that's a good one.
But yeah, I think the overall look of those forces look neat, and I think they'd be really fun thematically to play. Probably not the most competitive, but yeah.
But fun. That's what we're going at.
Yeah.
Two things I would want to play, and I actually, one of these Katie owns, is an E. Kruger list. Like, that guy just looks like a barrel of laughs to me. I would love to play E. Kruger, so I may have to borrow Katie's E. Kruger list at some point. What?
A barrel of laughs.
You've never heard that term.
That's a term.
I know it's a term. It just doesn't sound like...
Man, remember in Mark 1 when Kruger 1 could move his feet clouds around?
I liked his racer clouds.
Sounds good.
God damn.
Sounds good.
And they forced Fury.
They should just take Kruger 2, combine them with Kruger 1... from Mark 1, and then they'll be Kruger 3.
Oh, God. in order to give Circle of Caster the as good as Morvana too.
Yeah, so you just push everything away, and you have the lightning claw.
But if you
erasers.
Push them away, then you can't erase them because they're out of your control area.
Well, they just make them bigger, make them 5-inch.
He won't get any spells, but he gets 2 feet.
Yeah. So like P. Haley.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so I really like Ikruger. I think he'd be a lot of fun. And actually, I really like the canes and just the being able to put Deadeye and shit in Signar. Like playing Rhett with my Rat 6 almost across the board, that just sounds amazing.
For a while, I did own an EK name because I'm like, I just love the idea of shooting people, but I got rid of it. But yeah, I see what I can see the appeal.
Yeah. So those are the two for me that I'm interested in. Ooh, that's a nice looking Rhett somebody posted on Facebook.
I would play the Harbinger. I played her once in Who's the Boss with Circle, and it was so much fun.
She's pretty good in Menoth, too, I hear.
She's pretty good in anything. Martyrdom sure is a thing.
If you want, I can lend you some of my Menoth.
No, I don't want to play Menoth. I just want to play the Harbinger.
Oh.
She is pretty awesome.
She is not bad.
You can play her with all mercenaries and then attach Tenda Priest to him.
Yeah.
And actually, that's really really awesome. Is attaching the attendant priests onto the little hammer dwarves.
Well, that was just that broke that one tournament. Point. That was like the 20-point thing was just her and the hammer dwarves. And
yeah
but
sick.
it's still pretty nasty.
I would
overall.
Agree. It is really good.
But anyway, also she's a cool model. She's someone under her skirt.
That's true.
She's underage.
Hey, no, in the fluff, she's 18 now.
Not at the point in time that model was made.
True.
That model is underage.
That's true.
She's
so you like it more then?
She's floating up. I don't understand why that's dirty.
You just talked about seeing up her skirt.
No, so she said she's floating on her skirt.
I heard up her skirt and immediately thought about her.
Of course you did.
Of course you heard that.
No, whatever. Like the phrase up her skirt, whatever.
Not up her skirt, up on her skirt.
I'd be up on her skirt.
And we're back to underage rape. Awesome.
I didn't say rape.
Yeah,
Jeremy just went to
what the hell?
Up on her skirt.
Maybe she
said, yeah, like that's the thing. Just hey. I mentioned having sex with someone, you were immediately assuming it was non-consensual.
Yes, I've met you.
Maybe it's Tennessee. It's okay in Tennessee.
Well, he's a college athlete.
She had a drink. She had it coming.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you?
Wrong number.
I didn't even know what that one meant.
Eject.
It's from the turd burgle we did back
the wrong
there.
Number?
Oh, that. I don't know what Brian's meant.
He just
Brian
randomly
is.
Shouted wrong number.
Yeah.
I panicked.
Just your show words. Cheese bread!
So, Nathan, is this something
so
you would play?
So, Harbinger, you said you would play.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's a Pulp Fiction reference.
I actually talked about this one. Wrong number is not a Pulp Fiction reference.
He's driving. He's bringing her to the house. He's like, "Wrong? Are you calling me on a regular phone?" He's like, "Yeah." So wrong number.
Oh wow, that I would not have gotten that in a thousand years.
No, watch Pulp Fiction.
I remember it now.
Yeah.
By the way, a nice recommendation: take your gun into the pooper with you if you're waiting to kill somebody. Yes. Don't just leave it by the toaster.
No, Pop-Tarts.
I talked about this when Brian did his section of our aborted All of Us Explain Why We Play Our Factions recurring thing with Scorn was Morgul 1, because he looks like a lot of fun just running around wiping out entire units and then sprinting away to safety.
Yeah, I don't
like that's
that
I'm sure that's the wrong way to play him.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Really?
It's fun.
Like just spending all his fury killing 10 guys and then
sprinting
away.
You sprint away behind a wall and then fuck that.
You're just sexy.
Here's a horrible thing to think about. Think about Morgul wiping.
Wiping out units?
No, wiping.
Like, after you go to the bathroom.
You just use a duvet.
That's why he's a
I'm pretty sure
attachment.
You can take those off.
I honestly don't know. I haven't read the
gloves.
I'm pretty sure those are just gloves.
That's Marquette's job. Oh, God. That's what he uses that stick for.
Oh, my God. Why is this happening?
So are you saying now that Marquette is a turd burglar?
Yeah. Along the same lines as how does Rasheth wipe?
Oh,
yeah. he has people for that. Oh. He has agonizers.
He has elephants for that.
Why do you think they're called agonizers?
or that just helps his play his feet.
Oh.
But like I'm sure that Morgul could just take the gloves off, but then you see something like Thagrosh, like he has to poop.
Yep. Well, he's kind of animalistic, though, so he probably doesn't wipe.
Right. Well, does he have butt cheeks?
I don't know.
Because animals don't really have to wipe because they don't have butt cheeks.
I'm aware. I honestly don't know.
There are some cats that really should wipe because, you know, their tail sticks up all the time.
Yeah.
And then you can see the poop on their little pink spot.
But in general, like, it just... It's called an anus.
Pink
Speaking of which, Art Crawl is a great episode of Bob's Burger. It's all about anuses. Animal anuses in particular.
Is there anything I could do to make this not be about anuses anymore?
That was basically what Bob said in Bob's Burgers. But then he embraced the anuses because the old lady from down the street didn't like the anuses, so he put up more anuses to defy her.
There was a lot of anuses by then.
There was a lot of anuses. I think that the creators of that show found out that it was okay to say anuses on network TV, so they just said it like 100 times an hour.
Wow.
It was great. Those are just legitimately a good episode.
Okay.
Well, it was Bob's Burgers, so of course it was
good. Fair enough.
So there you go. Something about poop. I forget what we were talking about in the first place.
We're doing pretty good on time.
Yeah. We're doing good on time. We can talk about poop for some more time.
Or we could go to Katie.
All right, Katie.
That was my vote.
Katie, you type for your quarter. Insert jingle here. We should get a Katie's Corner jingle.
La, 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 la.
It's your quarter. Doot-a-loo.
We could just get Keith singing Lady Goat.
Doot-a-doo.
No.
Katie's Corner. La. No. There you go.
10% more Katie.
Thank you. No, this I wanted to. I was playing Jim in a game a few weeks ago, and I told him I was going to steal this idea of his, so he's fine with it.
So this is Jim Tech?
So this is Jim Tech. Nice. Well, it's pretty low-grade Jim Tech, so I don't think anybody who's played the game for a really long time is going to think this is really revealing.
Is it what an affinity is?
Technology. Certain Warbies have things called affinities,
which enhances them with certain casters.
Yeah, shut up.
What does Bulk get to attack 8 times?
But... But anyway, if you're playing against someone and you have a couple of units or members of a unit left that haven't done anything, and so you're like, oh, just kill off one of their who's your little unit that has vengeance?
The Sentinels.
The Sentinels. So you're like, I'll just kill off somebody in his unit, and it's a Sentinel.
Yeah, no, keep talking, Katie.
Keep talking. Okay. I was trying to pantomime to, and there's somebody breathing into the mic. I was looking at Brian and Nate. I couldn't tell which one it was.
I was 2 feet away from the mic. No, I was leaning back.
No.
I was farting. I currently was holding my breath.
You have to hold your breath.
It's a complicated procedure I have.
You have to make sure it goes out the right direction.
Yeah.
But anyway, that might not be the best idea because Sentinels have vengeance, and so if you kill off their one piddly unit. Member, it's gonna do more harm than good, and you didn't really gain a whole lot. And so the point of the story was, make sure that if you're killing something, there's a reason you're killing it. You don't just go in and you say, alright, I'm just gonna kill all the entire army, I don't care what order or what it is, I'm just gonna kill everything. Because there are some things that you just don't need to kill, especially, like I know there's another ret caster who's under his feet. Every time you kill someone, they get to move.
Yep,
or like every time you kill someone, somebody else gets a soul token and things like that. It's like, well, are you killing them for a reason or are you killing them just to kill them because you're making your opponent stronger?
Even if there's not a direct effect when you kill them, like even more subtle than that is whatever you send up to kill them is probably in a more dangerous position it would be if it wasn't killing them. Yep. So that right. you might be instigating trade that you're not ready for.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think it wasn't something that I had thought consciously when Jim mentioned it. In passing, he was like, make sure you're killing something for a reason. And it's like, well, that's right. You should make sure that you're killing it for a reason because there are all these effects, negative effects that it can have if you're just going willy-nilly at their army.
Which is basically threat assessment in many ways.
Everything is threat assessment.
Well, that's true.
this is a fairly beginner level of threat assessment, I think.
Yeah.
Because there are units that have vengeance. There are guys that have Righteous Fury or Righteous Vengeance. And maybe you don't know what in their list is at end game a problem for you, which is where true threat assessment comes in, is what do I need to kill now, what can I kill later. But just knowing what is going to be a problem for me next turn if I kill this model is important and valuable and simpler than trying to threat assess their whole army.
And knowing not to give your last tech. I hate when I shoot out an AoE and it just drifts towards that vengeance unit. And I'm like, no, don't clip that one guy. I'm giving him vengeance. Okay, now don't roll. No. Oh. Anything but boxcars and all boxcars. And
of course you roll boxcars every time on that one, too.
Well, because there have been several times where it's a stupid move, but I'll run my stalker up there, and for whatever reason he won't have sprint, and I'll kill the heavy or whatever, an attack earlier than I had planned. And so with my last attack, I'll just kill off some random infantry unit, and it's our guy. I keep saying unit, meaning one person, but that's not what a unit
that's
is.
That's 40K terminology.
But like, why would I do that? Because it would either trigger vengeance or they would get something else out of it, and there's no point to it. I'm just doing it because I have the option. And so it's something to keep in mind when you're a newer player. Just because you have the option to kill something doesn't mean it's in your best interest.
Well, good point.
Like 90% of the time it might be. Like, you don't have to overcompensate the other way, but just be mindful of things like souls, things like vengeance, things like righteous vengeance.
Well, I think this feeds into, we talked a little bit last time about when you have a plan, A, B, and C, and things go wrong. Like, I think that part of where you get into the problem is you had a plan that had steps A and B, and you have, you know, your entire army, and it takes you 7 models to do A and B, and then it's your turn, and the clock's going, and you're like, well, I don't really have a plan for the rest of my army. I guess we'll just do random attacks here and there.
Or
like,
you finish the plan on step A unexpectedly.
Yeah. Right.
So now you don't need B.
And so, like, sometimes it helps to have a backup plan or a plan B or another thing you want to kill. Because otherwise you're just making these random willy-nilly attacks that aren't necessarily getting you anywhere.
I guess the other point is, too, is you don't have to take everything that your opponent just gift-wrapped to you. Like, he's going to have that one vengeance model just out in the open, willy-nilly.
Just
so you can just pick them off.
Yep.
The best is if there's a forest and they have Bane, like it's a thin forest and they have like 8 Bane Knights behind the forest that are literally unseeable, and then the other 2 in front of the forest. So if you vengeance, those ones will move in the forest far enough that they can charge out of the forest on their activation.
Yep.
But if you don't shoot those 2, like all of a sudden they're threatening odds. That's the best way to use Bane Knights.
This is terrible advice you're giving people. I don't approve of any of what you're saying. Right.
Whatever.
Now.
Bring Bane Knights. At least they're not Bane Thralls.
Yeah.
But that is the best way. Oh,
but
it's
yeah,
so
or like my Sentinels. I'll hide most of the unit behind like a wall or whatever, and then a couple of guys out in front of the wall. Look, these guys are easy to shoot. You should totally kill them. Oh, excellent. I have vengeance over the wall, and now I can charge you because I didn't have Pathfinder before.
They should just bring Shadow Shift back. That was much easier.
It was.
From what I hear, that's not true.
It's not true.
Well, I mean, the other thing kind of going off of that is to think about why your opponent is offering you up this model, because I know that Ryan had said a couple of times, like, he'll just put his Death Jack out there just to divert attention away from something else that they could have killed.
You
that
are just saying
valuable.
Terrible things right now.
How dare you give good advice?
Let's delete this podcast. I don't like anything that's happening right now.
Because, well, most people won't ignore a Death Jack.
Oh, I know. It's like, go kill this thing. Ooh, shiny. And then I win game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or not like with that Jack, or like, you know, have your Colossal just over doing something on one half of the table and the scenario is on the other half. Because people will throw their army at a Colossal and the scenario points 2 feet away from it.
Yeah, Jordan's E-Butcher list. Like, that Colossal is nothing but a trap. That Colossal is, I'm going to shoot my gun, and you're scared because I've got my crit devastation gun. You should come kill my Colossal. Meanwhile, 400 weapon masters are slamming across the table. And, oh, by the way, you're nowhere near either zone because you're spending your army killing his Colossal.
To be fair, that's what's good about that Colossal is because it has that crit
it
effect.
Does.
You have to affect him, but he doesn't care about it. But he doesn't care
he
about
doesn't
it.
He doesn't care at all.
But it's not really trap. Much of a diversion when the entire front line before you can even get to that Colossal is all Doom Reavers. So it's not like a distraction.
Well,
it's,
the point is,
it's just an addition.
People will clear the path through the Colossal and then throw things at it when the things they threw at it could have just as easily contested the zone. Like, I've watched that happen in tournament games with a Z-Witcher list.
Right.
And it's just like, I'm going to let you just have the zone because I want to kill your Colossal. Okay.
I'm just going to have one flank my entire Boomhauer unit that was supposed to go up and help contest that zone. That's just going to fail.
I heard they failed there only about like once, though, right?
Yeah, only 5 times.
Oh, right, every turn.
Yeah.
Well, they only failed once. They just never recovered. So technically, they only initial fails.
Yeah,
once.
They never rallied.
Yeah, they never rallied, yes.
Yes.
They pissed down their leg for an entire game.
Oh, my fucking God, that was horrendous. I think I did talk about that game.
Speaking of never rallying, as a bonus little corner...
Bonus time. Woo-hoo!
If you are contesting the zone with something that could potentially run away, you should contest the zone with something else as well.
If you're playing somebody that has terror or abomination, yes.
That's a good idea. That's a good
yeah.
That's a good option.
It's also that's part of why solos are so amazing in scenario play is because in general they tend to have slightly higher command than a unit, assuming that unit's loss
are
UA.
A lot of
them are fearless. Like solos are just really, really good in scenario, and that's one of the reasons.
Here's my black primer.
Black primer? What?
Yeah. I was looking for my black primer. It's on the shelf.
No, Andy, that's an orange crush. Yeah.
No, next to it.
That's the
drink
the other one.
Drink the midnight.
Andy, these are dice.
Oh.
These right here.
Seriously?
These are dice.
Oh, my God.
Seriously?
What? I'm rolling dice. That's what we're all about.
He's unplugging you now.
Oh, I have a
stop.
Dice.
I'll put him away. It's funny because she's trolling me with British grammar.
British people.
So any more corneriness, Katie?
No, that's all I got. That's all she wrote.
I thought that was a good corner. I liked how you made Brian sad the entire time by giving away his secrets. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Is it now time for Nathan to insult the country?
No, we don't need to.
We don't need to do it. We're going to eventually run out of countries.
There's a lot of countries. I have faith in us.
I'll make some new ones. There'll be some civil wars.
Well, we can talk about how the phone game made fun of Mexico.
Every time I look at the Toyota car logo, I just see a little Mexican guy with a sombrero. Look at the Toyota logo. I'm not even making fun of Mexicans.
Mission accomplished.
No. Nothing wrong with Mexico. Right now, pull up the Toyota logo. That's a dude wearing a sombrero. It totally is a dude wearing a sombrero. It's hilarious to me. So every time I see a Toyota, I just hear the Mexican hat dance in my head. All right. Yes, thank you, Katie. Also, here, I'll tell an anecdote. It's not making fun of a country, but it is. It was one of my more successful trolls.
But you can see his head through the sombrero.
Vitska.
See? Like, his head pokes through it.
No, that's the top of the sombrero. Ignore the oval. That's the sombrero's top. That's the brim curving out, and then that's its head underneath it. Just draw a couple eyes and a mustache on the bottom half of the circle, and you have a dude wearing a sombrero. So, Vitska, press ganger, he posts on the Merc Forums a lot. He lives in Lithuania. And so I was trolling him. I was making fun of him because he's a cool guy, and I like him and whatever. And he said something about Eastern European history. I'm like, who do you think knows more about Eastern European history? Me, a red-blood American, or some guy from Lithuania, wherever the fuck that is? And somebody on the forum just, like, tore into me, like, because of how ignorant and dumb I was. And I'm like, dude, seriously? I know where Lithuania is. That was a joke.
I've seen Eurotrip.
Yeah, I've seen Eurotrip.
Yeah. Wow.
Lithuania's down next to Australia.
Yeah, by Guam.
Yeah.
Right next door to Guam.
Yeah. There you go. Bermuda, way up north. I don't know if I mentioned that. Way further north than you think it is. It's not down in the Caribbean at all. It's way up there by, like, New Hampshire.
It moves.
In Iceland.
No, it doesn't.
That's why it's a, you know.
It does technically move. All continental land masses move.
A very small amount, yes.
It's moving. Including all 53 states? Whatever.
I thought it was 52.
I don't know. You're the one who said it.
I know. I'm pretty sure I said 52.
Schmuck.
You should just forget that you said it at all.
Meh. Nope. Never let them. There's the normal 50 plus Canada and Guam.
We forgot about East Dakota.
East Dakota. North Tacoma. All right, so moving on. I guess recommendations time.
Yeah.
Well, that was great.
I mean, I have one, but I was going to
I was looking at Brian.
I don't start them.
Okay.
I have one.
Not Andy.
I started.
Yay, Katie.
All right, Katie, start.
I am going to recommend The Faculty. It's an older sort of scary movie.
Oh, my God.
No, it's so good.
It's got Robert Patrick.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
It's got
the T-1000.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He's the coach.
I misheard who you said. Sorry, you're correct.
You thought I meant Patrick Bateman?
Sure.
Jason Bateman? Duffy?
Well, yes, all of those people. I actually like the movie. Anyway, Katie's recommendation.
It's got like all the stars in it. It's got Elijah Wood, which is the first movie I saw him in when I was like 14. So I had a major crush on him since then. So it's 13 years now. And then... What are you guys looking at?
The house is haunted. All of a sudden, we just heard things behind us.
And he threw a ball behind you.
And it's got Jon Stewart, and it's got...
everyone in that movie
name?
Wears clothes.
Patrick Bateman?
No, the nurse.
Oh,
she's a Bond villain.
But it's got Josh Hartnett,
too,
and then it's got everyone in it. It's got a ton of people in it.
It does.
Some
really hot
movie.
Chicks.
Yes.
Oh, and there's a naked chick in there too, so it can go on bait flicks.
Is there?
She's barely naked. She's
well,
it's with
boobs.
The mist. Yeah, well,
it's like covered.
Oh,
it's covered.
Yeah, no, it's not covered.
It's covered.
Oh,
it's a little.
It is not covered.
It's not covered.
It's
I just saw this movie.
Yeah, I don't want to say covered. What's the phrase? Obscure.
Yeah. It is not obscure.
Yes, obscure.
No, it's not. It's like
it's obscure enough.
No.
Hey, trust us.
the nurse you were looking
the experts in the room have said it's obscured a little.
The nurse's name you were trying to remember is Salma Hayek, by the way.
Oh, Salma, is she the one naked?
No, sadly not.
Oh my God, she's so fucking hot.
No, but they do stick some worms down her ear.
Oh, Famke Janssen or whatever.
Yeah, Famke Janssen is in it.
There's a song on the music at work. There's some horrible, crappy song where this guy's like, sweet serendipity, and it's awful. But every time he says it, because he says the word serendipity, it makes me think of her stripping in the schoolgirl outfit in Dogma. because her character's name was Serendipity. Oh. And yes.
Oh.
God, she's so hot.
Yes, from Dusk Till Dawn as well.
Yes. She's terrified of snakes. Like, apparently that was, like, the hardest thing she'd ever done in her life is have to dance around with that python.
Speaking of hard, I can recommend that.
Speaking of hard in my steak.
Yeah, the other person, the really hot chick in that movie is Jordana Brewster.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. She's good in Fast and the Furious, and she's on Chuck.
Yep.
Who's she on Chuck?
She was his girlfriend that broke up with him when he was in college.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So tons of famous actors and actresses.
The faculty.
Yep.
Nice.
Well done. I'm going to recommend, it's both a movie and a play, but I went and saw the play this weekend. And
I was
going to
ask you how it was.
It was really good. We went and saw Big Fish, and it was very enjoyable. I enjoyed the play quite a bit. I also enjoyed the movie a lot. I am hard-pressed to say that I liked the play more than the movie because I loved that movie. Like, that movie was amazing and well done, and I really, really liked it. But I also really enjoyed the play. The only bad part about the play was that it ended at, I want to say, 10:30 in Chicago. So we got home at, like, 1 a.m.-ish, which is not a cool time to still be driving on the road, in my opinion.
I had to get up at 5:30 this morning to go to work.
Yeah, so that was not fun for her.
I'm tired.
Yeah. So anyway, but the play was awesome. The movie also awesome. If you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. I imagine the book's also good. I have never read the book, but
the book has less Danny DeVito in it.
He's the werewolf.
Oh, he's the werewolf in the movie. You're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, because he's naked, and Danny DeVito likes to be naked, apparently, because he's naked a lot in Always Sunny.
Hmm. I've seen his ass too many times.
It's apparently funny to him how horrific his nude body is.
Is he still married to the chick with
him. Rhea Perlman.
Yeah.
Sad
face. They seem like a good couple.
Well, they were both like 4 feet tall, so they were adorable as a couple. It was like Oompa Loompas in love.
I don't think it ended badly. I think they just grew apart.
Yeah, like it didn't end like horrifically badly, I think it was kind of like she was sick of him. Like it was definitely kind of one of those one-sided, I'm leaving you divorces. Eh. So, but that's still...
But anyway, and the play we went and saw, at least, this is like right now showing in Chicago pre-Broadway, and so apparently it's going to Broadway. But the guy that plays the main character, who's played by...
Rhea Perlman.
No, he's...
Patrick Duffy.
Ewan McGregor.
Thank you. He's played Ewan McGregor in the movie. No, Ewan McGregor. Did an amazing job. Like, he was really fantastic.
Ewan McGregor?
Yes.
Well, also really Ewan McGregor.
Good.
But
Ethan Hunt?
The
really
guy
good.
That plays that main role in the play was also fantastic. It's a musical, so if you don't like musicals, you probably won't enjoy the play.
I heard the father is really good, too.
But
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. No, not Tom Cruise. Anyway, I'm done.
There was no running in the movie, so...
Tom Cruise was not running, so they didn't need Tom Cruise.
Just over on the side of the stage, just on a treadmill, just running towards you the whole thing. So, like, if you ever get bored of the play, you can just look over and see Tom Cruise running.
No, the one sad thing about the play, and Katie brought this up, and I completely agree, was the scene with the Siamese twins is not in the play, which is a fantastic bit in the movie, if you've seen the movie.
Never seen it.
It's fantastic.
Are you kidding?
You should really see it. It's really good.
That is pathetic.
Yes, you are kidding.
I've never seen it.
He doesn't like movies that have emotions.
No,
oh
you didn't see
God.
It. It's amazing.
No, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I just honestly have never seen it. I think when it came out, Brian and one of my other friends.
I saw it.
It's
alone.
On Netflix.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's on Netflix.
I know.
I saw it. Oh, my God. I wept in the theater.
Yeah.
A lot of people wept.
Like, there's very few movies that move as many guys to tears as that movie.
I think it's the second,
It is, and that's why it makes guys cry.
It's the second work of fiction to actually make me weep, like actual
After
tears.
Old Yeller?
Old Yeller didn't do it to me. Whatever. It's a dog. He shot the dog in the face. Whatever. You got to do it. Whatever.
Is
the dog was
like
rabid. It sucked, but the dog had to be shot in the face. No, the other one was when I went and saw live Phantom of the Opera.
I haven't seen that live yet, so.
It's just depressing ending. Like, I didn't even, like, I saw it in Miss Saigon, and I debated with somebody, and I'm just going to spoil the shit out of both of them. Somebody's like, isn't Miss Saigon sadder for you? I'm like, no, because she's dead. Like, she's dead. The end. Like, in Phantom of the Opera... he doesn't get to die. He just gets to live alone and hated by everyone
and
for
miserable.
The rest of his days in a sewer, just miserable and alone.
Yep.
Like, that's fucking depressing.
So sounds here's the cool. thing. As I started reading the book and I didn't finish it because I don't know where I put it.
Which book?
The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
And in it, like, he talks to people who own the theater, like, in person all the time.
And this is in the play, he writes some letters.
In the movie,
he doesn't talk to them. Yeah, it's
right.
letters.
But in the book, he, like, and maybe I was reading it wrong, but it sounded like he was just, like, sitting in the conference room with them, and he'd just, like, show up and, like, hang out and listen and then leave.
No.
I doubt that.
That seems like either stylistic choice or just weird. I don't know. I'd have to check in the book, but in like every other version of it, it's letters.
Yeah. Right. And like I said, I don't know where I put it, so it could be anywhere.
So anyway. Howard the Duck made me cry out of embarrassment.
Howard the Duck.
I'm like, why am I here? And tears coming. I can't get out. The doors are locked.
Play Duck. How did... Oh, my God. Play the Duck, first, really?
The first goddamn 20 minutes of Up makes me cry.
Oh,
that is rough.
Like a child. Oh, my man. God.
Like I said, I saw the movie theater, and there's an old couple next to me. That scarred me.
Did you poke one of them in the shoulder and just go... You're going to die.
I was too busy weeping.
Oh, man.
They were sitting there holding hands, and I'm like, oh, my God.
That'd be terrible.
I really like that movie a lot, but, man, I can't really bring myself to watch it.
The beginning of that movie is so sad.
I saw Grave of the Fireflies at a theater or at a film festival with some buddies, and it's a very, very sad movie about some kids in Japan during World War II. So I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting next to my buddy, and he's just weeping copious tears, and I just lean over to him and just go, that's for Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, my God, you son of a bitch.
Now mission accomplished. Now we've insulted a group.
That was pretty good.
All right, so anyway.
So that was Big Fish.
That was Big Fish.
Andy?
I don't know. You.
All right.
Hey.
Brian.
I'm going to recommend something that's been out for a while, but there's an expansion coming. It's a board game, Battlestar Galactica by Fantasy Flight Games.
There's another expansion for that coming out, too?
It just got announced today.
Is it going to be good? Because I hate the other two.
You are an idiot for life.
Okay. Go on.
You're the only person that doesn't like...
Vanilla 5 player, baby, for life.
Vanilla 5 is fun. You need Pegasus. Anyway, it's a game that's kind of co-op. It's you versus the game, but there's, you know, it's... If you're playing five players, two players are Cylons, and either you win or the Cylons win when the game is over. And if you're playing a different amount of players, you have a different equipment. Five players is the best way to play the game.
Basically, right? It's you versus the game, but a couple of the players are rooting for the game.
Yeah. It's one of the best thematically done games with some of the most simplistic fun rules. It takes about 2 hours to play everyone's played.
Why haven't we played that recently? I love that game.
And it's got two expansions. Second expansion brings out New Caprica, which most people don't like. I'm not a big fan of it, but it brings in the Pegasus board, which is pretty awesome. The third expansion, there's various elements, but it brings out, you can actually control the Cylon ships.
By third expansion, you mean second expansion, third thing.
Third thing.
Yeah, because that was... Yeah.
And the fourth expansion, which just got announced...
Third expansion.
Is going to have more Cylons. And part of it's going to be, I think, because it's following the show, so it's going to have some of the Cylons who are working for it. Because in the show, some of the Cylons switch sides.
Yep. So if it's following the show, is it to the point where it starts to meander and suck?
Meander and suck.
I enjoyed the show.
Yeah, the show is great.
Thing that I know about the game, I haven't played it. I've been kind of out of the board game crew for a while. I'm starting to get back in, but... You don't have to like the movie or the shows to actually like that game.
No, it's just a legitimately good game.
Jim hates the show and loves the game.
I like the game, except if you guys put me in the brig.
Hidden team games are a lot of fun when you don't know who's on your team with you. Plus, it leads to one of my favorite board game moments, which was Keith in that game. Because we were playing a game where there were two Cylons.
No, there was one Cylon.
Well, there are two Cylons in the game. One of them... We knew who it was. He was a new player. God bless his soul. He wasn't good at the game yet. So he was so obviously Cylon. We threw his ass in the brig.
We threw Katie in the brig. And I kept telling you guys, I was not a Cylon. Well, and you're like, no, it's really okay to say that
he was a Cylon. We knew there had to be another Cylon because there's a mechanic in the game where maybe the same person is both Cylons. And so if you're revealed as the Cylon, you can take your other Cylon card and give it to somebody so that you're not alone. But he wasn't doing that. So we're like, well, obviously, somebody else is the Cylon. And Katie, we just decided it was Katie. So we threw her in the brig literally forever.
So thematically, it made sense.
Turns out the guy was just awful and was just not... He was just losing so bad. And instead of reaching out for help and getting a partner, he was just losing even worse. And so... The second to last turn of the game, he gets the last turn in the game, the second to last turn of the game, and his last action in the game is to tag Keith on the shoulder and go, you're on my team now, and then the very next person wins the game for the humans. So Keith, poor Keith, he's just doing this, the guy's like, hey Keith, you get to lose now, and then the game ended.
Hey Keith, you know how you were winning the whole game really bad? Now you're losing just as bad.
I will, but the look on Keith's face.
Keith was so angry. It's so sad. Because the guy just hands him this card, and Keith picks up the card and just like,
But he didn't like rage. He just, I think the sadness overwhelmed his rage.
Yeah, it
did. It was one of the best expressions I've ever seen in Keith's face.
Was this Lewis?
No,
it was some random, like, I don't remember who it was. Yeah.
No, it was one of his friends. That's
why. Yeah, it was a friend of Keith's that he used to know when he lived in the area.
Oh. He came down once or twice. He never played the game. He just hung out once in a while. He's a nice guy.
Just, he didn't catch on. Even though we were all like, Oh my god.
If the Cylon person has both cards, they should declare now. Like, we said those exact words several
times. I've had flip side. One I had where I was a Cylon, I was revealed, and the new guy was the unrevealed Cylon, and literally, like, for like 6 turns in a row, I'm like, hey, partner, please, for the love of God, reveal. If you're the Cylon, please reveal.
That was Glenn,
we're going
wasn't
to lose. Please, please, please reveal. And then we fucking lose, and then he's like, I didn't think it was the right time to reveal. It's like, yes, it was! You suck! Reveal!
You just shattered someone's eardrums. And he's shattering his chair.
I don't know what Andy's doing, but it sounds like a herd of hamsters are trampling around under the table.
So Battlestar is my recommendation. It's an awesome game.
It's a great game.
I like the expansion, because the expansion now, you can take this element, you can kind of pick and choose what you want of the expansions, which is what I like.
Yeah,
about
you
it.
Can do that with all the expansions, which is nice. Because, like you said, with the first expansion, New Caprica is unplayably awful. All it does is, like, let's play a great game of Battlestar, and then when it's over, let's stare at this board for an hour and hate ourselves. Nobody enjoys the new Capricorn.
It's nowhere near that bad, but it's not as good as a McCormick.
There's zero good about it. There's no reason to play it. Even if it's not as awful as I'm saying, there's no reason to play New Caprica. It just extends the game badly.
It doesn't. Mechanics could have been better.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, especially if you get there in a Cylon Admiral, they just auto-win, which is hilarious. That the mechanic of the game is like, if you land at New Caprica, you should start this like half-hour-long game, but instead, if the Admiral's a Cylon, the Cylons just win.
To be fair, I've never seen the humans win if the Admiral's a Cylon anyway. Sure, it is guaranteed in that expansion, but it's 100% true. If you're the Admiral, you're kind of choosing the destination,
yeah,
and you always just strew the crew, the team, the entire game, so you're always making it worse and worse, so... Yeah.
Still, it's kind of goofy.
And you're able to do it in a way that it's hard for them to tell.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for the expansion.
But I was going to blindly recommend something just because I assume it's good, but I was going to red box it so that I could officially have played it. I was going to recommend Bioshock Infinite, but I haven't actually played it, so I won't blindly recommend it. Instead, I'll recommend the remake of Evil Dead. Because I paused for effect so Brian could kill me, because I went and saw... like. In the failed podcast, they all talked about going and seeing it without me.
Fuck you.
I went and saw it without all of them after the failed podcast. But it's actually good. It had hints of campiness. I'm not saying anything about spoilers or anything. I'm saying thematically. It had hints of campiness to nod its head at the goofy, campy, over-the-top cult classic original, but it never crossed that line, so it gave you... It nodded its head at the campy goofiness, but it was still straight-faced, scary, gory, over-the-top horror film as well. So it succeeded at being true to itself and a heartfelt nod to the original.
Well, that's basically what they really tried to do in the original one in the first place.
Yes.
They didn't go out
they
to make
campy
it campy.
They weren't campy on purpose. It was campy.
It just got campy.
Like,
and then,
Evil Dead 2 is campy.
That was on purpose.
Yes.
That was on purpose. But 1 was really meant to be... They really tried very hard to make a horror movie.
It kind of reminded me a lot, like, the Star Trek reboot is a straight-faced, it's an actually exciting action film, but it has campy moments. It has the green-skinned, goofy slave girl. No aliens would look like that. It has the goofy, campy music at the theme song for the credits and stuff. Whatever
you're
about to say.
Spoiler alert, it's the same universe.
Yeah, I know, but my point is, like, it has campy touches because the original as nods to the original, but it's still a legitimately entertaining action.
Well, you have to get up, giving it all she's got, Captain. You know, you have to get those.
Yeah,
quotes.
Giving us all she's got, Captain. Yeah, exactly that stuff.
Yeah, and basically Bones not wanting to be teleported.
Damn it, Jim! I'm a blank, not a blank.
Yeah,
they had those moments as homages and nods to the original, while still not being cheesy. Right. And Evil Dead did the same thing. It's legitimately like. Scary. There were moments that I had to cover my eyes and look away over the screen because of things that were happening. And the whole you can see everybody in the audience rotate 90 degrees to the right and duck their heads behind their arm because they did not want to see what was happening on the screen. So you should go see it if you like
That's
scary
right
movies.
Now. Stop.
Hey, all right, sure. Well, we didn't have to stop right now. Andy still has to do his recommendation.
Yeah, stop playing with your mic.
That's his recommendation.
Damn it.
Go on, Andy.
My recommendation is for a game I played only once.
and it was over our board game weekend, and it was our only non-cooperative game, and that is the King of Tokyo.
With the expansion.
Yes.
But I think, did we recommend that last week, or did we just talk about it when we talked about board gaming?
No, we played it.
I'm pretty sure it's actually a recommendation from last week.
Really?
I think it might be.
No, we talked about it.
Hey, now it's an official recommendation. It's not like nobody's ever recommended a card game that had been previously recommended on this podcast
before.
That
ever happened. Oh, wait.
I'd like to change mine to Lord of the Rings, the card game.
You want to be the third person to recommend it?
I've never played it yet either. So.
No, I think you're right. I think we just talked about it. I was just going to.
Yeah, no, King of Tokyo is it's pretty damn awesome. It's a little dice game. You have your monsters and you slowly gain powers. You have to play with the expansion. In fact, I didn't even realize that the expansion, we were playing with it already.
Yeah.
You get like bonus powers for your guys for rolling specific spots on the dice.
Well, it's a very subtle expansion, which makes it really good.
Well, yeah. The big thing is the expansion. Like in the base game, the monsters are all literally identical. It's just Yahtzee with slightly different mechanics without the expansion. I mean, the expansion makes it asymmetrical.
Yeah, it's all the graph. Only difference in the monsters, they look silly different.
It's what token it is.
Yeah,
it's like playing as Miss Scarlet versus playing as Professor Plum in Clue. It's just the color of your token.
Well, except playing as Professor Plum is always the right answer.
No, Scarlet's the right answer because she goes first according to the rules.
Yeah.
Scarlet goes first.
Yeah, but Professor Plum's awesome.
Yeah, it's Christopher Lloyd.
But she goes first.
She
does
go first.
But Professor Plum is awesome.
Okay, you can go ahead and not go first. I'll be busy winning the game with my legitimate edge in the rules. True story, yo.
Apparently, Andy's done.
No, I'm not done.
He took his headphone off.
Yeah.
No, I was, you know.
I agree. King of Tokyo, very fun.
Yes.
I won once. And then was going to retire and didn't, and then Jim took away my win.
Oh,
I won our pregame. I'm a little.
Yeah,
we played. It's like a 30-40 minute game, which is nice.
I will point out that of the three games we played, two of them were definitively won by a single card, which I think is a little OP.
The Rockets?
The Jetpack. Yeah. It's just open.
Only one game.
No, our pregame was straight up won by the jetpack.
He won with a jetpack because you could have stolen it for five turns and didn't. So it was really.
I couldn't have stolen it for five turns. I had one turn where I could have stolen it.
And you didn't. And then you
because
won.
I stole Katie's other overpowered card.
Her card was, her card was nowhere near as overpowered as the card that helped him win.
Especially since when we came in, we got that game out on Saturday, and you're like, by the way, guys, there's an item in this game called Jetpacks that's super overpowered and super good and super overpowered and super broken and blah, 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 blah. And you hemmed and hawed about it, and then we're playing the game and it comes up, and then you didn't get rid of it.
I got rid of it. I just would have stolen it.
But. Well, whatever. The point is you yourself had went out of your way. It wasn't even like it came up and you're like, that card's OP. Like, you had preemptively, before we even got the game out of the box, said that that
Brian
card
Brian claimed that it wasn't OP in a big game, and I wanted to see if that was true. Turns out it's not.
Hey, do you remember when you're like, hey, if we get two masks in this Wand of Zevendor game, then we should just stop playing because the game's already been beat, and then we got two masks, and you're like, oh, no, let's just play it out and see what happens.
There was one more turn, and I was curious where I would finish.
Uh-huh.
There was not just one more turn. I remember being excruciating pain waiting for the
game. That mask is so fucking good.
By the way, when we played on Saturday, I've never seen you play the game so poorly.
By the way, what the fuck were you
that
doing?
That was the worst performance by Nathan in my entire life.
You guys should clarify
what
game that
is. I still got second.
No, we can stop it. If we would have played it, I would have got second.
So you say.
And first loser matters.
Yeah, that's true.
Congratulations. We all lost.
Scepters of Zavendor is a game.
Scepters of Zavendor. So anyway, do we want to do a post
Ben math is
thing?
Fuzzy math.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. All of a sudden he's got six rubies.
Yeah, magically. Yeah, so Ben, who doesn't listen to this podcast,
you're a cheater.
Math. Hey, and Travis, suck it.
Especially since I shouldn't have. Ben was going to hamstring himself and throw the game like on his third turn. I'm like, Ben, that's really stupid. Don't do that. I should have let him do it.
You should have let him do it.
Oh, it was his first game ever.
Oh, let me do it. Also
he's already been messaging
game.
Me. Hell, I didn't even know what I was doing when the game. So I've been getting like lots of messages from him about how good he is.
Alright, well, we can play it again and I'll just shove his shit all the way up until it comes out his mouth.
Wow.
We should put it on a video podcast.
I don't want to have to put up sensor bar.
Also, Scepter of Zavendor is my favorite tiebreaker, which is the people who tied play it again.
Yeah, that is fun.
And so a running joke in my previous board game group was that was the tiebreaker for every game. Like, if you tied in Connect Four, you just played a game of Scepter of Zavendor. If you tied in King of Tokyo, you just play a game of Scepter of Zavendor, and so on and so forth.
Nice.
It's a good tiebreak. Everybody should pick up a copy of Scepter of Zavendor just for that tiebreak.
Okay.
Hey, let's invite. We forgot we have the guy in the corner. We should bring him over here.
We should.
Jim?
No.
No, Jim's on the corner this week.
No, he's not. He's not out of the building because he has bad taste in books.
Oh, man. You two were just getting mad at each other about Erickson in that thread.
Well, like, here's a thread about recommendations that we all liked. He's like, Erickson shit sucks. I'm like, seriously?
Like, just one specific recommendation. Like, I put a lot of effort into it, like pulling together like 100 effing recommendations, and the thread immediately devolves into Jim hating one of Brian's.
I also liked reading the recommendations. Like, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. Don't eat olives. This is good. This is good. This is good. Like, Jim's recommendation was just this bitter, hateful thing.
Well, there's one in there for don't trust Brian as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is also Jim.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Jim's a lot of don't do something.
That's a lot of Jim tech.
Yeah, it's true. Jim tech is like that.
Wow.
So time for our contest of the week.
Yep.
Part two.
Please email us.
At podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Yep.
And we'll choose a random winner from amongst the correct guesses.
We also are very low of self-esteem, so please like us on Facebook and on Twitter. We need followers because we're lonely.
It's true. Become our minions.
Minions. That's, wow, that's just weird. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So,
we're going to have Jeremy come in here.
Yep. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hello. Enemy murders were written this day on the Twelfth Commandment rules against this murder. This murder is freely murdered, beats a bird, but he cannot be knocked down. Thank you.
Yay.
There you go. That was the... No, Jeremy, you don't get to look. Not the other Jeremy. American Jeremy. American Jeremy was legitimately going to cheat.
I think I'm exempted from the contest.
You can see the book, at least.
I can. I have a leg up on everybody else.
You have a leg up on everybody else. You can see the book, so you know what... faction that spell slash feet came from.
That's true.
That's all he knows.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's people were rumoring that they were hoping there's like this vain hope that they're going to have some like, you know how every year Adepticon gives out like battle boxes?
Yep.
They're like, well, maybe they'll have some
the convergence
battle box.
Can you imagine the insanity that would happen this weekend? I doubt that would happen.
But that would be
insane. It'd just be hilarious.
There would be stabbings.
I know it'd be great.
There'd be flat out stabbings.
Scary enough, though, they have posted the battle box.
Yeah, no, it's out of range. There's a slim chance.
But the rules are like two no quarters from now. It's when the rules for the battle box are getting spoiled.
Yeah, so it seems unlikely, but I'm just saying it's possible.
I was one of the first 1,000 to register, so I'd be super excited if that happened.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Could be something in your bag.
There would be something in his back. I would stab you so hard in your kidneys if you got one of those. I wouldn't even take it. I would just murder you.
just
out of hatred.
I feel like that might not be the best option.
I'm just saying, maybe look at your life insurance policy you have on him. Might be good.
I don't like shoveling the driveway.
Valid point.
Yeah, but
it's nice to know that's why she keeps me around.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm glad you said driveway, not sidewalk, because you guys don't have a front walkway during winter. We have to walk across random chunks of the lawn where wild animals have trampled the snow down.
So
you're not even denying it.
I do try to get the sidewalk, but I don't do as well as I do with the driveway.
Whatever. We've been walking across your flower bed because, like, when it thawed,
you mean the little sidewalk up, like that little
from
last,
the driveway
like, few feet,
to your door.
That last few, so, oh yeah, no, I don't.
You pull
that.
Up
Fuck
into
that.
The driveway, and then you're just like you have to cross the Arctic Circle.
There's a little path because I have an overhanging roof that's already clear. What are you bitching about?
You have to
bring a dead tauntaun on the way to your front door.
Yeah, there's like base camps where Sherpas have been abandoned because you can't get from the driveway to your front door safely in one attempt.
There's no more snow this year, so
I know.
Problem solved.
It thawed, and I'm like, oh, their sidewalk is like 10 feet to the left of where I have always assumed it was.
So your answer to the lawsuit would be like, oh, it's going to melt.
It'll melt.
In 6 months. It'll be gone. God. Think of the money you could make from the loss, from the life insurance policy, though. Only paying like some schmuck on the block to come plow the driveway. About ten.
Don't give her ideas. Don't give her ideas.
You know,
Nathan. I can't control your actions.
You can't control my. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I could just choose not to make the attempt.
Now I'm worried. Anyway, that would be awesome. I'm super excited. Whatever is in the swag bag, I'm excited about. But if it were a convergence, that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see at Adepticon. What might you? I have to go to Adepticon this week, and then next week. Here's a little recommendation too. Don't be an asshole like my brother and/or his fiance. They're getting married in Colorado on Thursday, and then the reception is on Saturday.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's like the fuck. Like, could you not get wherever the hell you're being married on the same day as the reception or vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, I just have to twiddle my thumbs for 2 days.
That is dumb.
Of course, it turns out they're golfing on Friday, so at least I got something to do on Friday, because golfing in the Rocky Mountains is pretty awesome.
Wait a minute. How are you going to Adepticon if you have
different
a wedding?
Different Thursday.
Next Thursday is my brother's wedding.
You thought the same
this
thing.
This Thursday is Adepticon.
Thursday.
Yeah, it is true. But no, this Thursday is Adepticon. Next Thursday is my brother's wedding.
All right. We're about
that
time.
And that was Crippled System. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye.